The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Hell. Today we're in Food Hell with the brunch boy, Jeremy Jacobowitz.
Yeah, you nailed it.
I missed like seven syllables the first time I tried, and I'm really proud of myself. And we're not going to have to say that last name again because we're just going by Jeremy.
Jeremy, I mean, that's why Brunch Boys was so easy for everyone. They're like, Jeremy Brunch Boys. My last name's completely gone.
I also love alliteration. It literally gets me wet.
It was an accidental alliteration. Uh-huh. Isn't it wild? Well, so I was picking on, this is years and years ago, the original idea. So I guess if you guys don't know, like, it's my social handle and I do like videos on food and my life and blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. But the original idea, almost 6 years ago now, which is I'll make some brunch videos. I was working in TV as a food TV producer.
Well, you were actually working with Bobby Flay, right?
Yeah. So I started in sports TV and then went to food TV. I was Bobby's PA. So I was like, I was his assistant on set.
Okay. What's he like?
He's the best.
Oh, I knew it. I kind of wish I dated him, like, if he was 20 years younger.
You could still date him.
Is he single?
Yeah.
He's probably a nightmare to date, though. I recently realized all these guys who are, like, so, like, amazing on screen, they're all fucking narcissists and crazy assholes. But he's, like, such a New York guy. Like,
I wouldn't say crazy asshole. I mean, listen, to succeed that hard in something, you sort of have to be a little bit narcissistic.
Yeah, and crazy.
Especially a chef. Like, oh, to succeed in that world, too, you need to, like, be alpha. You need to be creative. You need to push yourself really, really, really hard.
I'm working on a bit right now just about how, like, Disney teaches you to go for, like, the most toxic masculine man, and they're going to, like, make you happy. It's like, those men are the ones that kill your spirit and make you forget who you are, and then you have to go to therapy. So, yeah, I'm just trying to stick. Like, society makes you feel like you need to go for those kind of guys, but it's finding the right partner. And the right partner might not be the guy that gets the most airtime on the Food Network.
But it could be.
I love watching Bobby. I love his little accent. He has a sense of humor. I think I have a crush on Bobby Flay.
Listen, pretty much everyone I talk to, this is where it goes. Oh, we're to Bobby? Oh, Bobby. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm sitting right here too. But, whatever. Yeah, Bobby's
like,
tell
me about your old boss. do you have any funny stories or weird things he does? Does he like make you get smoothies in the morning?
Well, so I had to make him breakfast every morning. Yeah, a lot of
pressure.
You had
to make a professional chef?
Well, when I say make, his breakfast was Greek yogurt, mixed fruit, and just the perfect amount of honey. I had to get the honey right. Oh. That was like lesson day one was like, okay, you're going to be making my yogurt. You got to get the honey right.
You got to get the honey right.
The honey right, the right yogurt, the fresh berries. So that was my morning. Every single morning was like washing his berries.
I was recently talking to another comic about how like yogurt's considered gay. So the yogurt companies are trying really hard.
It is. What about like, Greek yogurt? Greek yogurt is manly.
Well, now they're like Oikos or whatever. How do you say it?
No, I think it's right.
Okay. we were at the Super Bowl party together. There was this Super Bowl of all these, like, it's called Bubble Butt, and it was all these football guys talking about how big their butt is, and it's like, do you want strong glutes? Eat this protein yogurt! And it's like a black branding.
Oh, yes. No, I've actually worked with them.
Yeah.
Because that was it. It was like protein Greek yogurt, because it honestly is crazy healthy, and I think it tastes pretty good.
And I guess, guys, God forbid, you just have like a normal yogurt. You're like, this is going to turn me gay.
To its estrogen.
And yeah, regular yogurt. But you're the perfect branding person to work with.
I think it was called Powerful Yogurt. Like, they just went for it. Like, they're like, why mess around? This is what it is.
Put some hair on your chest, yogurt. So, I want to start. Well, first of all, you guys need to follow Brunch Boys. But it's just one boy.
Yeah, it's just me. Sorry.
But you want to pretend you have more friends than you have.
Well, that was it. Well, sort of like, I mean, think about it. If it was just Brunch Boy, people would be like, oh, that's sad.
That's a little narcissistic.
He eats by himself. Which I do all the time, I guess. But brunch in particular seems weird to eat by yourself.
So we're going to play our first game just to get people going. Because I don't want to brag, but I am a white girl who's 28. So I've brunched in my day.
You are my demo.
I am your 100% demo. And I followed you like forever. So I'm glad we finally made this happen. We're going to play a game called Bitchin' About Brunch.
Okay.
For your whole life, would you rather eat just breakfast food or just dinner food? You can only pick one.
Breakfast, come on.
Okay, just checking. All right. Mimosa or Bloody Mary?
Bloody Maria.
What is that?
Tequila.
Oh, you're sick. You're sick in the head. You just took it to another level. Diner or fancy?
Diner.
Yes. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Westchester.
Okay, so Westchester.
We had some good diners.
Yeah, great diners. Do people actually like Eggs Benedict?
Of course they do. It's not my go-to necessarily, but I think also because people think of like the standard one.
Yeah.
But I think when you do cool stuff with it, it works. Like the standard Canadian bacon, English muffin, that could be a little boring.
Yeah.
When you play with it.
And there's
it
something
fun
about putting the like gravy type sauce on it of hollandaise that can throw me off. I just feel like people either love it or like no one goes near it.
I mean, if you don't like eggs, it's 1,000 eggs in a dish. So
how many eggs?
Well, the hollandaise is just fucking eggs and eggs and eggs.
Oh, so I have no clue eggs what hollandaise eggs sauce
yeah,
is.
It's really, really eggy.
This is why I need you around to explain these things for me that never crossed my mind. I'm just like, oh, hollandaise. No idea what that is, but it's weird colored. I know you never hear people being like, oh, I'm just craving Eggs Benedict right now.
I agree with that.
Okay, good. Would you ever open a restaurant?
No.
Why not? Listen, you got so happy.
I'll separate it. Do I dream of opening my own restaurant? No, because one, that's not what I'm good at. Two, you have to be insane to open your own restaurant.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
It's too difficult. But my goal, if I was like,
if you just killed like thousands of dreams out there, you're like, it's too difficult. Don't
please
do it.
I've worked on so many shows where this is sort of the premise. Like everyone's like, I make a great hot dog. I'll do this. It's like, no, dude, there's so much more you got to worry about than just open up a restaurant, you know, make a good hot dog. But if I was super rich and I wasn't trying to make money and I didn't care if I lost money, mm-hmm. I would love to like find restaurateurs and chefs that need money to open. I would love to do
cool.
that. And
like invest in stuff?
Yeah. So like I'm not there day to day. I don't ever want to be there day to day.
Yeah.
I don't care like if it performs. I mean, obviously you'd want it to succeed, but I'm not invested in it to make money. I just like want to help out people open. That would be my dream. But
and
I got to make
thing.
A lot of money before
you can't
that.
Be high level with these restaurants. It's the day-to-day of like one fork is dirty and it could ruin your restaurant in New York City.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with it. You could succeed on everything and your restaurant in New York City can't succeed. That's the hard part.
Oh my God, I know. I also could see you doing like a fun pop-up thing.
Yeah, like a branded thing. Listen, if someone just wants to pay me to have my name on it, yeah, I'd consider that.
Cool. Speaking of name on it, did you ever go to Justin Timberlake's brunch place on
his barbecue place?
Yeah, it's like barbecue, but it has like some. I've gone there for brunch before. What do you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
It's like Hell's Kitchen.
I think it shut down.
Yeah, I think it might have too.
You know why? Because what's his face from the Trump administration was behind it too.
Oh,
there's a lot of money in that. Not just it was like one of those places where you start digging. You're like, oh my God, whose money is this? You know what I mean? Like when everyone got mad at SoulCycle, I'm like, dude, every giant corporation is gonna have some evil person at the top.
You're like Kim Jong Un. He likes Eggs Benedict. Okay, best way you like your eggs?
I make eggs every single morning for breakfast, mm-hmm. and I scramble them. I don't even know if that's my favorite way. Mm-hmm. I know it's a cop-out, but it is the way I eat them every single day. So
I feel like scrambled eggs is an art form. Like, I love when it tastes buttery and it's not too well done. Like, I like when it's a little bit
soft.
Loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also read recently that it's like eggs can cause inflammation or like they're bad for you in some ways. And I'm scared.
Well, I see this. So like I go on different diets or whatever, and I'm usually trying to eat really healthy. I think everybody's body is completely different.
You're right.
So if you eat eggs and don't feel that way, then I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
If you do have those issues, don't eat eggs.
I mean, I always have like some issues with my stomach, and I don't really know why.
Well, that's not good.
It's called anxiety.
Oh. I have that agita. That's what I
have. Yeah, it's just agita, just being half Jewish. We don't process anything. Okay, unlimited alcohol at brunch or unlimited bacon?
Bacon.
Yes, a man by my own heart.
Here's why. I hate this question. People ask me, where's like the best boozy brunch?
Yeah.
I'm like, don't bother. Because here's the thing. One, if they're known for boozy brunch, probably means their food isn't good.
Yep.
Two, an unlimited boozy brunch means you're getting shit champagne with a ton of sugary orange juice. Mm. Just pay for two real drinks, mm-hmm. and you'll be feeling fine.
And you'll be fucked up is what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this answers my next question, which is party vibes or like bed and breakfast vibes.
For brunch? Yeah, I don't want party brunch. I'm too old to drink during the day.
Yeah, same.
I'll drink at night.
How old are you?
32.
You're young.
I'll have 1,000 tequilas at night, but during the day, I've decided I can't.
Yeah, I get hungover by 6 p.m.
It makes you feel bad. I got too much to do.
I also, yeah, I know. I have shit to do, you little kids. I know you don't have homework on the weekends, but I have shit to do. I'm an entrepreneur. But it's true, as an entrepreneur, if you drink during the day, it's like, oh, you just lost your own money.
Yeah, that's the pressure. That's always how the pressure of like working in TV is very, very difficult and the hours are insane, but mm-hmm. there's some separation. I know that if I'm not doing what I'm doing, like if I'm hungover the next day and it can't work, yeah, that's great. I didn't have to get out of bed, but too, like I'm only fucking myself over by not working, and it just piles up and piles up and piles up.
I'm like really getting over drinking. I know I'm on this TV show, which is all about drinking, and it was the hardest part of the show besides picking outfits, but it's like you have to hang with these people who are professional drinkers.
Yep.
And like, during the winter, I've been detoxing, and I'm like, it's so nice to like just enjoy my food.
Well, my problem is that I honestly think I would probably be better off not drinking for every reason, but I would not have any social life. I'm a total introvert. So if I don't drink tequila, I cannot go out or have friends. So
you're really good on this podcast, though. Are you hammered?
No, I like... I like talking, but it's like if I go to the bar, someone's like, oh, what's your move or whatever? Literally my move is to go find a corner and hide in it and go on my phone until I'm drunk enough to talk to people. Which is probably what I did at Raina's apartment too. I was probably in the corner on my cell phone until I was like, okay, I'm 8 tequilas deep. Cool. I could like communicate with people.
Well, speaking of, so we met like in person through Raina from Girls Gotta Eat, and she throws these amazing little parties at her one bedroom apartment, and we all just
fancy
go.
She has the fanciest apartment, so she has to invite us
over. So we all go over. And she's like, I don't know what to do with all this space. Can you guys go? I'm like, yes.
Oh, if it's such a beautiful rooftop.
I know. Oh, I didn't even think about the rooftop. But it's funny because we had DM'd like a while ago, and I'm the kind of person that if I don't make a move that moment, it's not getting done. Mm. And it was the kind of thing where I was like, yeah, email me. Never happened. And then I saw you.
Oh, I did? Wait, I did email you.
You did, yeah, you did, and I didn't do anything. I was one of those things where I was like, we're not in a rush with this, and then it never happened. And I saw you at her apartment, and yeah, you were kind of shy. You definitely weren't the kind of guy that was like, get in here.
Yeah, no.
And then I was like, eventually we naturally spoke.
Yeah, because I had 1,000 tequilas. So I'm like, cool, I can talk to people.
But also, like, you're tall, you're good looking. Sometimes if you're like shy, it makes you like more scary to go up to.
I can see that. So I definitely don't have the energy of
tall.
Is that what I should stop doing? I definitely don't have the energy of like, come talk to me.
Yeah. But I could see you having like a chill energy.
Yeah.
I love this. What's your sign?
I'm the first day of Cancer.
I was actually leaning towards that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I wasn't.
I don't know what any of those things mean other than that I know what I am. So I don't know. You're like, yeah,
cancer
sure.
Cancer means that you are like sensitive on the inside, but you're tough on the outside, and that you love family, you love home. And when you get overwhelmed, you're like a crab and you'll go in your hole. And
oh, that actually sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. That's you.
There I am.
Honestly, nailed it. okay. Back to our game. It's going to last an hour. So get ready.
Okay. Am I winning yet?
We don't know. Oh. unlimited. No. We did that one. Bacon, sausage, or ham. Go. That's what I wrote. Go.
Bacon.
Why?
That crispy texture.
Do you? Well, yeah. How do you like your bacon?
Towards the crispy, a little bit soft left, but I like the crunch.
Yeah, I like feeling the crunch, and then it just melts in your mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, maple syrup on bacon. What's your idea of that?
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Spicy maple syrup on bacon.
Okay. Well, now you're just getting fancy on me. But yeah, maple syrup goes in all types of places and things. You probably get sent so much random weird like food startup things. Do you
food startup things,
like food startups where people are like, try my CBD maple syrup?
Yes, all the time.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
More like apps. Everyone has, they still have apps. I'm like, come on man, we're 2020, don't have an app anymore. Sorry.
You're like, all the apps are chosen. Yeah. All the apps in the podcast are done.
Let me tell you about why this app. I'm like, okay, so like your Yelp,
it's for restaurants and
stuff. Yeah, it's for restaurants. Hey, this is gonna do this. I'm like, My biggest problem is that I took that approach too far, where when TikTok emailed me a year ago, I was like, you're stupid. Big fucking regret right there.
Oh my God. Are you on TikTok now?
I'm actually loving TikTok. Yeah. Okay. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I wish I had jumped aboard. My problem is I could go on a whole rant. You could stop me when you're bored.
No, I rant on TikTok too.
My issue with TikTok is not TikTok itself. I think the platform is really, really cool. It's a super viral platform. My issue is the way everybody perceives it. Everybody perceives it as a fucking dancing app. Yeah. And I'm like, it's not a dancing app. Yeah. If you don't know how to dance, don't goddamn dance.
I know. Everyone's like, well, okay, I'll do dances because I want to be on TikTok.
Right. If you dig into TikTok, it's actually just like super crazy creative people being experts on things. So it took me a few days like
the algorithm. I saw that. Yeah, there was a girl who was showing like makeup, but in a really like unique, quick way.
That sums up everything, no matter what they're creative with. And they're all younger, so they're all super passionate about stuff.
Yeah.
And like, and it's super viral because when you open it, like it shows you other people you don't follow. So I think it's an amazing, really, really cool platform as long as you're not dancing on it. If you're a great dancer, go ahead and dance. If you don't know anything about dancing, don't dance. I say this all the time, like, because I get asked about social media stuff and I'm like, I did a rant about this morning, so it's on my brain. If you want to succeed in social media or anything, take something that you're good at, that you're an expert at, that you have something to say, and put it out there in a unique way.
Yes.
If you're going to be the 10 millionth person dancing on TikTok and you suck at dancing, what does that accomplish? Nothing. And also, if you're going to grow a following too, are you going to continue to make dancing videos? Mm-hmm. No. So you're going to get followers that don't want to engage with you.
And if you don't enjoy it when you don't have followers, you're not going to like enjoy it more when you do have followers. You're still the same person.
Yes.
And people think like life's going to be different when people care about it. It's like, no, you probably feel more guilty because now it's like work for you. Because now brands are paying you to do something you don't even care about.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the food space on Instagram. I see it all the time. Like the ones that started when I started, when Raina started, this is 6 years ago. Like,
oh my God.
We all just did it because we love food. We worked in food probably in some way, and we're just putting our stuff out there. Now there's 10 million food accounts, and I had a talk with I was brought into a company a few weeks ago to talk about this, and I was just like, honestly, most of the food accounts don't know anything about food, aren't passionate about food, and don't know how to put it out there in a creative way. It's just, you could sort of go viral with food. It's that same idea where like they know how to go viral by making rainbows pop out of bagels,
or they have just like a good handle.
Right.
Like a catchy handle.
100%. Like, I mean, even now that doesn't help, but 5 years ago, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you have nothing to say about this.
Just because you have access to food doesn't mean, it's so funny. I remember when I was younger seeing all these like accounts that are just curating like a certain food. Like it's curating burrata or curating smoothies. So it's like, it's not even your creativity and you're putting it together. I mean, not to like hate on meme accounts because they do the same thing, but I love meme accounts. But like, there's something about the food thing where it's like, is this, you just love looking at, I don't know.
That's what's crazy.
People do.
But still then it's like, I mean, I picked brunch for a few reasons, but one of the things I love about brunch is like, it gives people reason to follow me because it's somewhat specific, but it also can mean anything.
You're right. It's not just food. It gives people like a specific angle that they're like, also the word brunch triggers joy. Like,
this is exactly
had a bad brunch besides if you went to one of those boozy ones.
And... Right. This is word for word what I tell people. Yes.
Yeah.
Same page.
Same page. I like the way we're going on side rants. We're almost done with this.
Everything I do is a side rant. Sorry. Yeah.
My whole podcast is a side rant. So, okay, someone literally gave me a 1-star review of my podcast and they were like, she asked too many questions that could go in all these different directions. And I'm like, isn't that the point of asking questions?
That's an interview.
Do you want to just know the answer before I say it? Sorry. Fuck you, Sandra. Anyway, why don't we wrap this game up with the top 3 brunch places that you recommend in New York City. You probably get this a lot, but it's important.
I do. We'll go bias answer first, but still legitimate answer is Gatto, Bobby Flay's restaurant. You got to go there. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Where is it in the city?
It is in NoHo.
Great.
I would say I like the idea. Well, I'll go another sort of classic. Sunday in Brooklyn is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's in Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. Love it. Some of the best pancakes ever. Best everything, though.
Yes.
With good pancakes. And then I will go, you could go a thousand different directions, but why don't we go Llama Inn, which is Peruvian.
Ooh,
yeah,
where's
like,
that?
That's in Williamsburg also.
Great.
Yeah.
I love how you specifically said best pancakes. I feel like so many times when I'm at brunch, I can't decide between pancakes or the omelet. That's the hardest part.
What I would say, the way I order, I mean, I like sharing everything. Mm-hmm. I'm the person that's like, yeah, we're just going to get this. Everyone be happy.
Ooh, that would be fun. You and Rain are probably out of fucking control when you go out to eat.
It's stupid. Which is why we like, don't even do it that much anymore. Because we're like, we need to like be on camera a lot more now. So like, we got to be healthy. I would say in that situation, you order the pancakes. You're like, I'm going to pancakes for the table and everyone's going to eat this. And then I'm going to get an omelet in front of me so I could be healthy.
I've never felt like proud of myself for finishing 4 full pancakes.
You can't finish them.
I mean, I can. Oh, well, don't challenge me. Oh,
well, I have a problem. But get it for the table. You get your fill of the pancakes.
You're right. And you get it for the table and then distract people and then you eat it.
Yeah,
anyway.
You can still eat as much as you
and
want.
And then you Venmo them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Okay, wait. Levels. Hello. 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 Okay, that's good.
Okay, great. Are much you better. Leaving that part in? Just you yelling into the mic?
Yeah.
Hello!
That's a good thing is I edit it. So the stupid shit I say, I'm like, and I do it like 3 weeks later and I'm like, that wasn't a sentence.
That's why I love editing all my own stuff, because I know when I'm saying things out loud that I could fix it. So yep. I just like literally when I'm doing tasting for food, I'll just say a lot of words.
Yeah.
They probably don't even make sense, but like I'm editing it, I'll make it make sense. Which is why when I like host things for other people, I'm like, oh God, they're gonna have to edit me. I don't know. they don't know how to edit me yet, but I guess I'll figure it out.
Yeah, most of my editing is me making sure my senses make sense.
Well, it's like when girls post photos with their friends. Like you're only concerned that you look good. They could look horrible. But you're like, I know it's your birthday, but I look
girls
fantastic
are in control.
In this photo.
They'll put this crazy filter on that their face somehow looks good in, and everyone else looks like we just like played in a like sand trap and we're like dirty and it's like what the kind of filter is this? It still happens. We're like 30 years old.
But happy birthday.
Honestly, you can tell you're a good person if you even look at other people in a photo you're editing. That's how you can tell how good of a person you are.
I have a lot of friends that are girls, so I'm used to being yelled at a lot by photos. They're like, I'm sorry, why did you post? I'm like, I don't know. It looks fine. They're like, oh God, no. Take it down. Let me re-edit it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Also, guys are like, yeah, you're you. You look like you.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't have thought to edit anything, sure.
I've done that too, where I'm taking a photo of ground. They're like, you take terrible photos. I'm like, bitch, this is your face. So get used to it. How did you meet Raina?
Oh, so I met Raina because of Food Instagram World. When she was One Hungry Jew, we were one of the first food Instagram accounts.
That's
she was still
crazy.
Working for Amazon, and I was still working in TV, and we just would be invited to dinners together. This is 6 years ago.
And you just like had good banter and just kept bantering and collabing. And
yeah.
Wow. Did she ever talk about wanting to do a podcast? Now it's just about Raina.
No. You're welcome, Raina.
Raina said we have to talk about her.
No.
Which is my favorite
hobby. The podcast thing never came up. What's funny is, so I also knew Ashley, her partner, Girls Gotta Eat, from because she had Bros Being Basic. So we got invited to some stuff together. Mm-hmm. And then we all got invited together to Aruba.
Oh my God.
So they had not met each other. It was a press trip. So I went to the airport. I was meeting Raina at the airport. And I know Aruba is not America. But I also forgot it was an international flight.
You didn't bring your passport?
Oh, no. I had everything. I checked in 1 minute too late and they wouldn't let me check my bag. They said, sir, this is an international flight. You should have been here 2 hours ahead of time. And I was like, international? What are you talking about? So I couldn't. They were like, you could board, but you have to leave your suitcase. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that. The next flight was the next day. So Raina went down there without me, not knowing anyone else. So then she bonded with Ashley on that trip.
So you are the reason that they bonded.
Yeah, 100%.
They would have never connected without you.
So here's all my reasons for all their success.
Yeah.
And I've said this to them, so this isn't a surprise. I say this to them every time I see them.
I just left a voicemail yesterday about it.
The photos that are everywhere, I did. They were like, because it was like, they started this podcast. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Cool, yeah. Fun podcast. Cool. I'm like, yeah, they're my friends. I want to be supportive.
Yeah.
They need some photos. Yeah, of course I'll take some photos. What do you guys need? Now it's on a fucking billboard in Times Square. And then they're like, you know, I think we're going to have some guests. You want to be a guest? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll throw you guys a bone. I'll go on your little podcast. This is 2 years ago. Still, that podcast in 2 years ago gets listened to like thousands of times per week. Because I like went through the stats. I was like, what girls are listening to me this week? Yeah, I was like, wild. So me like just being nice and being friendly. Here, you know, that's some good advice. Be nice and friendly to everybody. Sometimes works out.
Do favors for your friends.
Yeah.
I 100% believe like believing in your friends' projects helps you believe in your own project too. Like that's just your mindset. Because you can't be like rooting against people or like being critical of your friends, but then not do that to yourself.
Right. It'd be, why, what am I to root against them? Yeah. What the fuck's wrong with me?
Sometimes, you know, girls get competitive with each other. But yeah, they're the most collaborative, awesome, amazing people. What made you want to go out on your own and do your own thing?
It was all by accident. So basically, like, I was working in TV. I was on all these food travel shows while Brunch Boys is like bubbling, but like, there's no influencers and no one's making money on Instagram. There's no thought to ever doing it full time. It was silly. Just had some random account.
But you enjoyed it.
it wasn't even anything. Like, I had it for, I did these original videos at the beginning and then went back to work and kind of forgot about it. I would post on the Instagram account only because I'd be on the road in all these restaurants and I was like, oh, I have 10,000 photos of food. I guess I'll put it up there. So it started to grow. And when I got home from being on the road for, I did like 3 straight food travel shows. So it was back and forth, but I was just burnt out mentally, physically, just done. And I was like, I just need a fucking break. The first time in TV, I'd been working TV at that point. I started working TV, I was 19. So I was like, I just need a break after 10 years. So I started saying no to shows.
About like producing and stuff?
Yeah, I was producing at this point. Mm-hmm. Producing like food travel shows, competition, blah, 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 whatever. And I was like, I just need a break. And Brunch Boys had, like, people would want me to go to things. And I was like, maybe I should just play with this. I'm just someone that can't sit and do nothing. So yeah. If I'm going to say no to a show, it's not because I want to sit on my couch and play video games. I better be making use of my time. So I took off. I was like, I'll take off a month, play with this, go back to work. And the second I took off was, that's a year and a half of having Brunch Boys. But then that was the first time ever actually focused on it. Mm-hmm. And the count started to explode.
Wow.
And people were like, and that was right when people started making money. And I had a couple of friends and they're like, you're really close. So I sat down. It was never still my intention not to quit TV. But I was like, okay, let's make a run at this. TV's always there. I was always freelance, gig to gig. I never had to quit my job, which I think is mentally easier. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the money I had in my account and I was like, okay, if I cut out every expense pretty much, how long could I go? And I was like, I could go like 3 or 4 months of paying rent. That was like my only expense, mm-hmm. or, you know, a little bit of money, whatever. Mm-hmm. And took 4 months and I started making money. And then like I made no money in TV. So pretty much immediately I started making more money than I did
in
TV.
What expenses did you cut?
Everything. I mean, it was easier because I was like doing these, I would like go to restaurants for content. So mm-hmm. at least like food, I was pretty much covered. I could bring home, mm-hmm. cut out the gym, cut out as much alcohol as I could. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much all my expenses anyway.
Cut out like your Hulu, HBO, steal your parents.
Well, at that point, it was still on my parents. So yeah. We were good there.
I'm still.
Split the cable. I had to pay for a cable. I split the cable with my roommates, but it was like four of us. So it was like $20 a month. Yeah, pretty much cut out everything. Mm-hmm. Just like on lockdown, just make this shit happen. But then I was like, okay, so I'm making more money and then I'm doing TV. I'm still get to be creative, put out videos, do the storytelling, do everything I love about TV, but like have very few of the negatives of TV. So like that was it. It was by accident. It was just like, oh wow, I can do this.
I feel like I always have seen your account everywhere. It pops up all the time and like all kinds of people like to follow it. What's been the hardest time of having Brunch Boys?
I mean, listen, it's a different kind of stress. I think when you're doing stuff on your own, you're always tired. You're always stressed. Your personal life definitely takes a toll. It's mm-hmm. like, and I think friends are hard. Like most of my friends now are sort of in this world.
Yeah.
Because I think they just get it more. And this happened to me in TV too. It's like, okay, well, I don't think you're doing anything right now. Why can't you hang out? It's like, well, because I've been working for 20 hours today. The last thing I want to do is like leave my apartment to go get drinks or whatever.
100%.
Or like go get lunch. Like that. It's just like, I feel the stress of that happening. So I think like relationships, it's hard. Dating is hard. Friends are hard. Yeah, listen, there's so many positives. It's silly to focus on the negatives mm-hmm. of it, mm-hmm. but it's definitely a ton of stress. And it's definitely stress. Like I'm used to TV fighting for money. Cause like every couple weeks, every couple of months, there'd be a new gig.
Yeah.
Now I literally don't know what I'm getting paid ever. Yeah. Money comes in, maybe one day it's great, maybe 1 month it's great, maybe 1 month you get nothing. Mm-hmm. You better know how to mentally handle that you have no money coming in that month.
But you're also still working to create content always.
Yeah, I mean, well, most of the content's not paid for. So it's like, mm-hmm. like that's a balance of it. It's like most of the content is quote unquote organic. So like I'm not getting paid for 90% of the stuff I put out there. It's just the hope that that stuff is so successful, then people want to work with me and pay me for other types
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly, and I think that's the great mindset where a lot of people might be like, well, I just want to get paid for a lot of stuff. And it's like, do it because you love it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like majority of my content is not paid. And majority of my videos I make because I just like love to make videos.
Right.
And if a brand is like, hey, put Dunkin' Donuts in the background, I'm like, awesome.
Right. I mean, I say that too about Instagram. Like when I started on Instagram, there were no videos. And then it was 15 seconds videos. And it was 1 minute videos. Yeah. And now I have IGTV.
Yeah.
And I've been able to grow with that because like to me, I kind of like long form, at least somewhat more long form. So like I love IGTV.
Oh, I love it so much.
It just like lets me breathe a little bit more. Like people won't watch more than a few minutes, but going from 1 minute to 3 minutes, I'm like, oh, I could, instead of like just focusing on this dish, it could be more personality. I could tell more of a story. Like that's so much more interesting to me than just here's syrup being poured in pancake. Like you're going to get that, but let me give you...
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
I feel like so many entrepreneurial stories on this podcast are accidental, like, because you can never truly plan where you're going to be and where you're going to end up. It's almost like limiting to actually come up with a plan of what you want to do.
I tell people all the time, like people, like I was saying earlier, like people reach out to me like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I'm like, one of the questions I'm always asked, I'm like, why? Why do you want to do it? How do I become a food Instagram like you? Why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
I want to sell ads. I want to get free food. I'm like, oh, then you're going to fail. If that's your number one thing,
Yeah. You're
not going to succeed. I have people DM me all the time. Hey, how do I make money? I look at their account and like, I'm pretty honest with them. Like, Yeah. Okay, well, you have no followers. Your photos aren't good. Uh-huh. You have no voice here. Uh-huh. You have no value. Mm-hmm. Maybe find that. Find value, and then other people will find value in you.
Yeah. Ooh, that was strong.
I feel like, you know what I watch on TikTok? I watch a lot of Gary Vee shit. So I'm like, oh yeah. I just want to like start yelling at people.
You're the Gary Vee of food porn. Put down the French fry and take a fucking photo. Oh, speaking of, you're the Gordon Ramsay of food blogging. Dude, I love Gordon Ramsay. What is it? What's his show? Not Hell's Kitchen. The other one where he's like.
Kitchen Nightmares.
Mm. I had a binge on that show that was unhealthy, but it's basically, have you watched it?
Not a while, but I've seen 1,000 episodes.
Literally, yeah. Every episode's the same. They're all like, oh, my restaurant, I'm mad at this, people mad at that, but the food is amazing. And then Gordon comes and goes, are these shrimp frozen? And they're like, no. And he goes, these shrimp are fucking frozen. And every time he goes, is this frozen? And they're like, no. And he goes, then why do you have a microwave in your kitchen, bitch? I love Gordon Ramsay. Anyway, back to darkness. When was the last time you were depressed?
I battle depression a lot.
You do?
Yeah, I've had it forever. Really? It's something that's manageable. It was something I used to be on medicine. I just hated taking medicine.
What kind
of medicine?
Just like antidepressant?
I have no idea. Yeah. I haven't taken it in 10 years. So a lot. I think like that.
Was it hard to get off of it?
No, because I was an idiot and just went off of them, which is like the complete wrong thing to do. Like no one should ever do that.
Yeah.
I would just like, I don't want to take this anymore. Just didn't tell anyone to stop taking them.
And you had a little funky time during that?
No, I think I was more funky taking them. That's why like, I feel like I took a lot of medicine for like that and like ADD shit and like did that high school and in college. I feel like it feels like a totally separate person. Like I don't remember a lot from college. Wow. It's not from drinking. I didn't even really drink in college.
Yeah. So you right now are not in anything?
No.
And how does it make you feel?
Good. I mean, I think like it's, like I said, it's something manageable. I think like if they ever reach a point where like it is really bad for me, obviously like you should seek help in some way.
Yeah.
I should probably talk to someone, but I don't do that either. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's just sort of like an everyday thing. You learn to live with it and you learn to deal with it. I think like, hey, if I'm feeling bad, like, okay, go to what makes you feel good. Let's order some Chinese food and watch The Simpsons and sleep. You know what I mean? And I think like, I love routines and my life is never routine, which can be really, really stressful. So I try and keep as much the same as I can every single day, because every single day is really going to be different. So I wake up at the same exact time every single day. I try and work out the same exact time every single day. I eat pretty much the same meals every single day.
Wow.
Where like the things I can control, I will control, because there's just chaos surrounding
Yes.
it. And I think that sort of helps cope.
How's your relationship with food throughout your life?
I'm happy to say that a healthy one. I'm sort of lost a lot of weight.
And Raina mentioned that to me.
So I lost 100 pounds 9 years ago now, maybe.
Wow.
8 years ago. And I think like a few things can happen when you lose that much weight. I think one thing is you put it back on, which happens a lot. Two, you never maintain a healthy relationship with food again, and you can't eat ever again. And there was scary, like basically to lose, like I went to a nutritionist, whatever, It was a crazy strict diet. I worked out 2 hours every single day, and I ate bars and shakes throughout the day, and like the most basic little baby chopped salad for like 6 months. That's all I ate. Nothing else.
How did you get the like determination to do that?
I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to change. Like my mom did it with me, which was nice to have someone partner with. You know, still living at home. This is right after college, maybe. And I was in like a shitty job. I was working at WWE. And like the job itself was really stupid. I was feeling really, really down. And I was just like, what can I change? I think like it's hard to take control of some things, but like weight really is something you can control if you put your fucking mind
to it. Why do you think you gained the weight?
I've always been big though. It wasn't like a giant jump. Oh. It was like that was my whole life. Wow. Maybe not that was the peak.
Do you think genetically you were kind of prone to it, or you like were an emotional eater?
A little bit of both. Like certainly I always default, like even this past year, I lost 25 pounds and I still feel, cause I put back on a little bit, maybe like 20 pounds or whatever it was, which is fine. I'm 6'4". I could pretty much, you know, hold it well. But yeah, I do find myself like when I am feeling down, like I was saying, when I do handle, like when I feel depressed, I order in Chinese food. Like that's where my brain goes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me get that real comfort food in.
Yeah.
Let me like, hey, I've had a really stressful week. Do you know what I want to do? Sit on my couch and eat sushi. Like it's always associated with the food.
I'm similar with that too. Like the other day, I'm like, I'm so fucking stressed. I deserve pad thai.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Like if I'm feeling fucking great, I will eat salmon and a salad, which I eat for dinner every single night.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling like, oh, this just like, I'm just beat. Yeah. And then I just eat food. And also like
Parmesan. I'm just saying things that food. I want.
But yeah, so like it's weird then that I lose all this weight and then go into food. Mm-hmm. But it's really happy to see. So to maintain that good relationship. Like when I started eating food again, it was hard. I remember like ate a Shake Shack burger and like immediately I'm like, I gotta go to the gym right now and work out 3 hours and work that off.
Yeah.
And it took a little bit of like, no, you could eat food, just eat better.
And your metabolism and probably got so much better from lifting and working
That's
out.
True. Like your body just sort of reset itself a little bit, but it's always been that thing like, okay, if I eat this, I don't want to make myself feel bad because I ate it. Sometimes I do. Like I was hosting a show this past week, a food show, and I had to eat lots of food every single day. And I got home yesterday. I'm like, fuck me, man. But also like you should feel that way. Like you should feel like, okay, if I've been eating like crap for a week, let me have balance and eat really, really well for a week. Mm-hmm. And I think like me
being
not
confident
being afraid
that your body will kind of handle that balance.
Yeah.
Naturally.
And I think like, I love food. When I travel, all I do is think about food. It's just like, I went to Japan this spring. If I went there and was like, oh, I don't know if I could eat that because like, whatever. I'm like, no, fuck me. Like
is
I'm
there
in Japan.
Gluten in that soup dumpling.
Right. It's like, no, let me enjoy this and I'll put in the work for myself to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's certainly a struggle. It's certainly hard.
I do think a lot is listening to your body in an honest way. Yes. Like I'll be like, wow, I ate gross for 3 days. I don't have to go to the gym for 5 hours, but like the next 3 days I can eat lighter.
Right.
And exactly. Like it's good. There's no like time limit. Granted. Yeah. In this industry, if you're like, oh, I have a bikini photo shoot tomorrow, which I would not want to do or have it done. So no, even though I brought that up, but yeah. Also just get a spray tan. You lose 5 pounds from that.
Oh, really?
I mean, you look thinner when you get tan.
Interesting. Well, I'll be in Miami next week. Although I don't go outside of Miami, only at night. It's too hot and humid.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And I'm going to be out to 7:30 morning anyway. So I'm like, I'll go to like, this is so fuck stupid bougie. I'll go to like Soho House in Miami and sit there all day working, hide from the sun, and then reemerge.
Yes.
At night.
To drink tequila.
Yeah.
What's your biggest physical insecurity now?
Everything. I still think like, it's still weird when like people like, I get DMs every single day. How are you so fit? How are you so fit? How are you so skinny? I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, that's what? What do you mean? What am I skinny? What do you mean am I skinny? Like, I don't see that at all.
Yeah.
I understand I'm in better than I was, but I don't see that in the mirror. So I think it's sort of an overall thing.
How has it affected your dating life now that you've like lost the weight and you have this crazy job?
Yeah.
Is dating rough?
Dating's not rough because, I mean, well, there's a difference.
Also, you could be like, hey, come to this restaurant.
Well, what's funny is like, I'll get DMs like, hey, could I brunch with you? I'm like, oh, I don't want to brunch with this person. I mean, we get drinks or something, and brunches, you got to work up to that.
That's aggressive.
I mean, I think there's a difference between like dating and still like the interaction with girls. I think like dating, whatever, I've been on 10,000 dates in New York City, whatever, who gives a shit.
Yeah.
I think like still like the mindset that you have that you're in, like I was going to example, like going to a bar, like I'm not going up to a girl in a bar. Yeah. I'm going to go hide in the corner. Some girl might come talk to me and that's nice.
Wait,
but I won't approach anybody.
Are you going to propose to Reyna?
Am I going to propose to Reyna? No.
What happened with you two? Were you romantic at all? Like, was there a moment where you like, I think I could date her?
I don't know. Things happened.
You get it here, folks. Things have happened. But
I'll say this. If you want to know the story,
yeah.
Go to a Girl Scout Eat live show that yeah. I'm at. And I'm at a lot of them.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
That makes sense.
That's a plug. Give me that sweet royalty money.
Yeah. I wonder, though, like how you've... It's fascinating that you guys have like hooked up in the past and now are like still very cool friends.
Yeah.
But it just, I guess, shows how much you care about each other.
I just think... All my friends are girls, so I think like there's sometimes a separation of like you meet somebody like a very you connect on some level and you might think it's romantically,
yeah.
and then it's just like no, but like we connected for a reason,
yeah,
you know, and maybe it wasn't that, but mm-hmm. the friendship is there. That makes more sense.
Why do you think you like female friendships?
I don't.
Besides that, we're like
I don't really have any male friends. I have one male friend, but I hang out with a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's a few things. I think it's just sort of like growing up where. My mom was always like the most powerful person mm-hmm. in our family, and like all the females, like that was much more my childhood growing up or whatever, even into adulthood. And I don't know, I just vibe with female energy much more. Mm-hmm. And even in TV, sometimes you think like there's a weird separation when you work in TV. It's like the crew mm-hmm. is the men,
yeah.
and the then the producers are females.
Interesting.
At least in a food
like
world,
the big cameraman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's changed now.
But also, to be a producer, you have to be like very socially aware, have empathy, and like some guys aren't as skilled,
especially in the reality world, yes. which is what I was in.
Yeah.
So yeah. So then, even in work world, it ended up like. I gravitated towards producing. That's what I wanted to do. So I ended up just being around all females. My executive producers were females. My other producers were female. So mm-hmm. just like from young age to it took a while for me to accept that. And I think like in high school, like you're friends with everybody. My high school is 120 kids. You're friends with everybody. So you don't really think about it. You're not forced to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had a lot of issues when I got to college because that was the first time you had to really make friends.
Yeah.
And I think I hadn't come to the conclusion yet, like, oh, it's okay to be friends with girls. I just kind of thought like, no, I'm not really that close to these guys, but that's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then didn't really have any friends.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't until then working in TV, it was like, oh, okay. Like what the fuck's the difference? Who's your friend? People still think like, oh wow, how could you? I'm like, I don't know. People are people. What the fuck's the difference?
It's so true.
Probably would be better for me to have more male friends. Like I think about what's the movie with, like Paul Rudd, and he's like looking for a best man because he doesn't have any friends.
Oh, I'm not sure. Rashida
Jones.
Oh,
is it just best man? Is it Jason Segel?
I love Jason Segel.
Yeah,
it's one. There, he has like 40 movies that I can't differentiate.
But I'm like, oh fuck, is that going to be me? I don't like.
you don't have a brother.
No,
you have a best woman.
Younger sister.
You have a best woman.
I probably will have to have that. Yeah,
as long as she's not like super hot, and then your bride's like, okay, this is. It'll
probably be Raina. So, what do you think?
Oh my god. Okay, but you're single now, right?
Yes.
Okay, if you guys want to talk to Jeremy, hit him up, but you have to get through Raina. We're gonna end with a final game called Seven Deadly Sins. It's about to get crazy.
Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay, what are you greedy about?
I'm greedy. Let's go back to work. I'm greedy with engagement. I want to fucking, like, I go back to this.
I thought you meant engagement. Like,
No. I'm talking social media. I am a very competitive person. I don't think people have to fail for me to succeed. But, like, say, like, I work with the brands and you've reached out to a few influencers to do something around them. All I care about is beating them in engagement. I'm like, I want to make sure that my shit is creatively the best.
Yeah.
100%.
Uh-huh.
But if my engagement isn't as good as someone else's, like, I can't sleep at night.
It's funny because it is such a small world. And when a brand's reaching out, you kind of know who the heavy hitters are.
We're also, like, we're probably talking to each other. We're like, hey, this brand reach out. Like, we help each other negotiate, which is why, like, I want to see them succeed.
I love
that. But, like, at the end of the day, I still want to beat them.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps you driven, and engagement's money.
That's it.
Who are you envious of?
Raina and Ashley. I want that sweet podcast money.
Oh my god. Yeah. And you have a podcast, but it's niche.
You have a wrestling podcast called Monday Night Wars, Monday Night Pod Wrestling War. If you are a wrestling fan, it is a nerd super deep dive. I understand it's not for everybody, but to me, it goes back to what Brunch Wars was, which was a passion project. If I ever make money, that's fun. But you know what? If not, it's the couple of hours a week that I get to hang out with my only male friends and talk wrestling, not worry about everything else. So it's fun. If you want to go to listen, you don't want to.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my listeners love wrestling. But wrestling is very similar to reality TV.
It is reality TV. It's the most reality TV.
I had an ex who would like shit on reality TV, and I was like, you love wrestling. It's the same thing. You think The Bachelor's not the same thing as wrestling?
I have become addicted to The Bachelor only through Jared Fried's stories. I've never seen a second of it on TV.
That is so funny.
But I fucking love it. Especially coming from like a reality TV background.
Yes.
I don't want to sit there. I mean, I guess
the best part of the show is like going on Twitter and seeing everyone's opinions that you're thinking in your head.
I'm just so blown away by how well it's produced. Like that like tickles me.
What food are you gluttonous about the most?
Sushi.
Oh.
Sushi is my favorite food. I could eat that.
Where do you go in the city? Forever. Where's your go-to?
This is a bad. Oh, it's an answer I like. Most people don't like this. I order from the same sushi place every single week. I like New York City delivery sushi. Not saying the omakases aren't amazing. And if I could just afford to eat omakases, that'd be amazing. But I tend to do more like the expensive, really nice sushi stuff when I travel. So I order in from Kanahashi in Greenpoint. Shout out to them. Every single week, I have the same exact order. It's just like, I call
what
like,
is it?
So spicy, crunchy salmon, spicy, crunchy tuna, peanut avocado roll.
Oh, I've never. So it has this is like crunch, a salty,
you
know, sweet.
See, yeah, you get
very
it.
Very fatty.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe like a little shumai on the side, see what kind of apps I'm feeling.
Do you know what I actually love, which I think people don't talk about enough, is spicy, crunchy scallop rolls.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I love scallop rolls. They just melt in your mouth. Oh, this podcast is so fun. I love talking about food so much. Well, too much. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath? Like, do you have an angry side to you?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I deal with idiots on social media every single day. And same. Yeah, it depends. Like, I mean, like I always say, like, sometimes, cause I'll look at my phone a second and wake up and I'm checking stuff. And some mornings I wake up and I'm fucking fired up outside. I mean, like, I just get hot about something. I think especially when it's more coming after me, it's just, getting back to like not having respect for what I do.
Yeah.
I think that sets me off on it. Because listen, I'm a big boy. If you want to make fun of me for something, make fun of me. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
I think it's when I know that they just have such little respect for what I put 1,000% of my time, energy, and money into.
So like haters, you're saying?
Haters are fine, but I think like...
Or if someone reaches out and they're like, hey, for $200, can you like...
No, that's it's more in the a hater realm of just like having no respect for what I do. Like... They hate this for some reason. I'm like, yeah.
Well, they're projecting their own issues on you.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe their dad who divorced their mom used to love sushi. And they honestly, it gets that complicated sometimes. You have to think that it's, hater. I've had like, I'm actually pretty good with the haters. Because I never, you just can't take it personal, even though it's fully personal.
I engage, I judge it by if they follow me or not.
Yeah.
If they follow me, I'm like, let me try and be nice about it.
Yes. Because
maybe they're not trying to be mean. If they don't, I fuck them. I unleash on them. Let me blow them up on my stories. Let me show.
Oh, I blow people up. Because
I also think, like,
time.
I just want people to take a second. Because I think sometimes they don't think about what you say. It's very easy to type things.
Yeah.
So maybe even if you follow me and you see my story and you see how dumb someone looked for saying something completely ignorant, maybe you think the next time before you type something.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, as much as I try and have a personality, and Brunch Boys is a very human thing, people forget sometimes that there's a person, even though every video is of me.
You're
they
right.
still think there's a separation of like, I get DMs all the time responding to something and I respond and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you responded to me. I'm like, what do you mean you DM me? Like, that's my job. First of all, it's my job. But two, like someone said then this morning, they apologized. They said, oh my God, I can't believe you DM me. I'm like, oh, well, like, you know, I really try hard to get back to everyone. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry about that. I won't ever respond to you. I'm like, no, like this is social media. Please respond to me. Like I fucking need you to respond.
Yeah,
this is the whole point of social media.
I will blow up people's spots though if they're like say something really stupid and funny. Like some girl, Summer House aired and she wrote, your face is like a toilet bowl. And then she was like, as in it looks like everyone shits on your face. Like she like explained it. And I was like, this needs to be posted on my story. I'm like, thanks for clarifying your diss to me. I'm actually more insulted you think that I didn't get it the first time. And actually, I didn't get it because that was fucking weird. And then I watch like my people be like, that's so fucked up. And I'm like, I know, right? Go harass her so I don't have to. When was the last time you were a sloth? Like, when do you have your lazy days?
More when I'm hungover, and that was this past weekend.
Yes.
I mean, I work, I end up working 7 days a week, but yeah, if I know like I'm going out hard, I'm like, okay, the next day, like, this ain't happening. It's going to be 3 delivery orders that day, and
When was the last time you had a girlfriend?
10 years ago.
When was the last time you lusted over someone?
That happens a lot, actually.
Do you have a celebrity crush?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm not into like celebrity stuff. I don't really watch movies.
Yeah.
I also think there's a very weird blurred line of celebrities now. Who's a celebrity?
Oh yeah.
People think I'm a celebrity. I'm like, oh
yeah.
I'm on Instagram. Are you a celebrity? You're on TV.
Everyone's a celebrity.
That's it. Yeah.
What's your type?
I always say like small brunette. Uh-huh. But now I feel like, I don't know, I'm 32. I'm like, there's a wide range of everything out there. And it's silly. I think it's silly to have something in your brain because I've gone on 1,000 dates of who in my brain is exactly who this person should be. Yeah. But I didn't vibe with them.
Yeah.
So I think it's very silly, which is why I don't love the dating apps. I was off them for like a year.
Yeah.
And I went back on them a few weeks ago. And I don't like it because I think it traps you in this. I like vibing.
It's all physical. I always say you'll never know if you would naturally gravitate toward that
person.
That's
what I mean.
We're at a bar. If you're at a dinner party, you'll gravitate towards someone you vibe with.
Right. It just happens. Yes.
Where these apps, I'll like see a guy who I guess looks hot, and then I'll be like, would I? And then 4 weeks are wasted me talking to this dude. I'm like, would I even go up to you at a bar? Or like naturally talk to you at a dinner table?
Yeah.
I don't know, but we're forced to go on a date.
No, I just sort of like, I forget about conversations quickly.
Yeah, good for you.
Like, whatever.
Why do you think you've been single for 10 years? That's red flag. Huge red flag.
Could I use work as an excuse?
Kind of.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
So I want to ask you one final question. I go, it's good enough. What advice would you give to the little devils who are listening on how to cope with your hell when you're going through it? What advice do you have?
I think this is a good lesson all of life. I think it's finding things that you're passionate about and just taking time for them. I'm very, very lucky where I had this little baby thing that I was passionate about that was just supposed to be a creative release because in TV I was frustrated. Mm. The money sucks in TV and your time sucks in TV and all those things. But at the end of the day, you deal with it because like you love working in TV so much. What I was being frustrated with was the creative aspect. As I moved up in the TV world, starting from Bobby Flay's PA, when I made his yogurts, great. I did a good job. He enjoyed me. That's fun. As I moved up in a creative world where you have more creative input, I became more frustrated in what I was doing because I didn't see my vision playing out, nor shouldn't have played out. There were 18 producers above me. I'm not the goddamn executive producer. But still, it became very, very frustrating where like now, where I could get away with all that other bad stuff, it was killing me. So I was like, let me take this little passion. Thank God I had this little passion thing that then, thank God, blew up. Mm-hmm. And I could take time to do that. But the original idea of Brunch Bros was, okay, if I'm going to be creatively is going to be really difficult in TV. At least when I'm not on a show, I'll have this fun, weird thing I can do. And I think that's really helpful, no matter what that is. But I don't know, maybe people like to bowl. I don't fucking know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But at least trying to take the time to do that. Because listen, no one's life is easy and everything's hard and work sucks for everybody no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. I think too, like, it's always like, there's that thing of like, no matter how rich you are, you're still going to have issues. Listen, I'm not a rich person, but I certainly have more money than I did in TV. And I still feel like, okay, that stuff helps. Maybe there's some pressure off it, but there's other pressures other places. So yeah, I think just finding those little things in life that you take pure joy out of.
And sometimes it's like checking in with yourself to ask yourself what those things are.
Yeah.
Because if you've only been focusing on like money and what your parents want you to do or what you think success is, you won't hear those voices in your head that are like, I want to be a rock climber.
Yeah. Well, no, but also, so I did a video a few months back about sort of like my battles with depression or whatever. And I had so much feedback. Like I forget when I put stuff out there. Mm. I forget. I see the numbers, but I forget people really watch it. And I had so much feedback about people telling me about their own issues and what they've gone through. People have gone through much worse than me or everyone else, whatever. And they're all they're like, wow, how do I, like a lot of it was, I hate my job, say where I was going through TV stuff. And I was like, yeah, that sucks. But like, I'm so lucky to find something that I was able to shift away from that's really hard to do. So maybe don't think of it as this gigantic shift. I have to quit my job to be happy because that's difficult. Or it's just true. Find more of those little things of, okay, this aspect of this job sucks, but you know what? I make a lot of money doing it, or I'm in a good location because of it. But on the weekends, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to tell people.
Start like, small. And things, right. I honestly feel that the universe will like guide you into places you're meant to go, and things will do well when it's like where you're meant to be.
Right.
How long do you think you want to do Brunch Boys for?
I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about stuff a lot, what to do next.
Because you've been doing it for a bit.
Yeah. What I like about it is because there are no rules, when I get bored of something, which I get bored of stuff very, very quickly, I can just pivot and do something else. Like, not pivot completely, but like even the types of videos I produce, even just 2020, I'm like, all right, I want to do different types of videos. It's more work for me, but creatively I feel better about it. Hosting stuff is fun. I've done some of that digital stuff, just giving me more stuff to
do. And it could be full circle where you are doing more TV stuff, where you're hosting like a show or something, or digital.
I like more digital. I mean, I did it this past week. I sort of like the digital aspect. I'm like, my audience doesn't even own TVs.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But yeah, I like that. I'm thinking about some other stuff too. My brain is always going crazy with 1,000 ideas. So I think like there's strategies, everything. I mean, if I could just keep producing and be happy with that, that's fantastic. But you know, this quote-unquote influencer world is very weird.
It is weird. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming to Hell. Where can people follow you?
You could do Brunch Boys on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. The podcast is Monday Night Pod Wrestling's War. I have a personal account, Jeremy Jacobitz. Whatever you could call that. And I'm a micro influencer. I get paid for both my accounts, which is fucking sweet. all those places. Just type in Brunch Boys at Jeremy. Whatever thing you're on, type that in and I'll pop up.
If you love food porn and you love learning about food, I'm obsessed with the account. I think it's amazing. And you guys, if you're listening to this and you've been enjoying Burning in Hell, leave me a review, screenshot it, DM it to me, and I'll say thank you and that I love you and I want to have your babies. Thanks for coming to Hell.
Wow, what a fucking deal.
I'm very fertile right now. 28. My eggs are about to die, but I need to use them. Thanks for coming to Hell, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.